everybody, to the Left of Straight show. Come join your host, me, Scott Fullerton, as we talk about everything under the rainbow sun. From LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books, we'll have you covered. Grab a cocktail if you'd like, because it's always happy hour somewhere, that's my motto, and enjoy the show. Here we go. Everybody, welcome to the very first Left of Straight podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Scott Fullerton, and I'll be your host for this hour at our very first show ever. So thank you very much for tuning in. With me in the studio today, I have the station manager and my co-host today, Phil Cato. He's going to be kind of helping me out if I get a little tone deaf on occasion.
Yeah, at least we'll try.
I appreciate it, Phil. Hey, you know, yeah, this is kind of exciting for me. My very first show, it's been going a long time coming. I have a lot of people to thank for it. There's a whole history behind why I'm starting the show on the website. You can always look at that at the website, which is www.leftofstraight.com, and that's STR, the number 8. But you'll find out why I'm doing this and what brings me to the radio and on social media. And it's kind of fitting that we're starting this today on social media today. It's National Social Media Day. So I went crazy on social media today. I was on the Twitter and Facebook and podcast and on Instagram and anything, any social media I can find. And now we're trying the podcast stuff. So pretty exciting things. Normally the show is going to be a two-hour show. But since this is our first actually live show, we're going to kind of just dip our big toe into the podcast pond today and go for an hour today. And I just can't believe the first guest we have for this first show. Can you believe it, Phil?
Not at all.
It's just pretty exciting. I have from the West Coast, Ben Patrick Johnson. He's a fantastic LGBT activist and does so many other things. And in our second half hour, we're going to bring Kelly McCracken. She was one of the plaintiffs.
Kelly!
Yeah, exactly, on the landmark case that went before the Supreme Court on Friday. So pretty exciting things for the first show. Just to kind of give you a rundown of what we're going to be about here on the show. We're definitely going to be talking LGBT issues, the current events of the day. We're going to have some great guests. We'll be talking about entertainment. Foodies, I love myself a good food competition show and trying out new restaurants. And I'm a voracious reader, so we'll be talking to a lot of different authors and books out there. So it should be an exciting time, and I hope you'll set your calendar to check in on this every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a lot of friends out there on the West Coast at 2 p.m.
Make sure you tell them about the time zones there.
Exactly. I mean, I could get confusing on the time zones there. I have friends on the West Coast, so that's 2 p.m. Friends here on the East Coast, that's 5 p.m. I have some good friends in the U.K., and that's going to be 10 p.m. Then I have friends in Australia that can just have to listen to it later because I have no idea what it's going to be then. But I just really appreciate everyone calling, tuning in for it. I have some great friends on Twitter that kind of helped encourage me here. That's kind of why I started all this, talking about Social Media Day. I started going pretty heavily on Twitter back in January, making a lot of friends on there, and telling them about my story. And they said you should really talk about the different differences you have in your story. So I'm going to start that. I want to thank a lot of people. I have Jeremy and Andreas in London to thank, Michael in Michigan, Pete in Pennsylvania, Rob over in Columbus, Claudio down in Florida, and Sal in New York City. They've been great supporters of mine on here, and I really appreciate it. So anyway, we're going to go right to our first guest here in just a second. The first thing I do want to talk about is that I can't believe my luck. Like I said, I have two great guests, and I want to talk about a sponsor. I have a sponsor for the show already. We haven't even launched yet.
And they didn't send any free samples. That's the only thing.
I did not get free samples yet, and we're hoping that's coming because, like I said, it is happy hour somewhere. But our partial sponsor for the first couple shows is Equality Vodka. I'm very excited to have them. They are out of Texas there. The two owners, Bert Gallagher and Doug Jacobson, founded the company back, I believe, in August of last year. An excellent vodka called Equality Vodka, and one of their goals, they set aside a bit of all their profits that goes back to the LGBT community. They've been contributing to Lambda Legal over the past couple months. We've gone through the Supreme Court case. They've basically donated to a lot of worthy LGBT causes, and I can't believe my luck that they would help partially fund a little LGBT talk show here in Northeast Ohio for the first time. So Bert and Doug are really stand-up guys. If you don't get a quality vodka in your area, you can't ask for it. They can. You can ask your bartenders. They can ask their distributors and get it. It's just distributed by Glazer's Distributing out in Texas there. But ask your bartender for a quality vodka, especially around the gay bars, because it is going to go back to our community. So thanks again to Equality Vodka for being here. Hopefully I can get Doug and Bert on the show sometime to talk about their excellent product and what they're doing for the LGBT community. But without further ado, let's go ahead and go to your first guest. I'm sure that's what you're here for. It's much easier than listening to me. My friend laughingly told me last night, it's like, Scott, why are you doing a podcast? And I jokingly say, well, because I have the face for radio and not for YouTube or anything. And then what do I do for my first guest? I get the person that's known for being one of the preeminent voice over actors in Hollywood, L.A., and all over the world for his movie trailers. But Ben Patrick Johnson is an LGBT activist, a husband, a philanthropist, an author, and, like I said, a preeminent voiceover talent everywhere. I do have Ben on the line, and we might be able to get TJ, his husband, to join him for us. So, Ben, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. TJ and I are sitting here in my voiceover studio in Hollywood. It is, I don't know what it's like everywhere else, but certainly here in Hollywood, it is hot as blazes. There are parts of the valley that were 100 degrees yesterday, so we are thankfully indoors in air conditioning in my little home voiceover recording studio.
That's fantastic. Actually, I was scared. We're in Northeast Ohio here, a little bit out of Youngstown area. And, of course, 10 minutes before my show aired, we had the worst thunderstorm I've seen in about a week pop through. So I thought, okay, great. This is going to be fun. But it was about 80 earlier, and we're down to about 75 now. So it's a little more comfortable back here in Ohio.
Well, you can have the weather gods send it up this way, because we've been very, very dry. We could certainly use the rain, and I'm sure all of us Angelenos would be quite amused by a last day of June thunderstorm.
Exactly. Well, definitely I want to welcome you, Ben, and TJ, thank you so much for both of you coming on. I mean, I'm a really little nobody out here in Northeast Ohio, and I appreciate you guys taking your time to speak with us. You were a huge activist with the Prop 8 in California there, and now that we've had this landmark ruling on Friday, this has got to be pretty exciting stuff for you guys.
It is. We had the opportunity, TJ and I did, to go down to West Hollywood Park and celebrate with tens of thousands of other Angelenos. And just, I mean, it was all around the world, and watching the rainbow flag on the White House, you know, the colors on the White House, and just feeling this sense of achievement. It's both a pinnacle kind of a thing, but it's also this quiet, just sort of, wow, it's still sinking into me that it's real. I was talking to TJ about this over the weekend. It's just, we've had marriage now in California for a little while, as in New York, and of course first Massachusetts, but in a variety of other states. But for, you know, to know that it's now everywhere, other than a few sort of recalcitrant holdout counties in Texas and elsewhere, which I'm sure we can chat about, everyone has access to this now, and it's a brilliant and amazing thing. And I've been in this struggle for a decade, but, you know, I look at the people, the activists who mentored me and brought me into the fold as an activist, and they've been doing this since the early 70s, people like David Nixner, who's been sort of a mentor of mine, and then others who I wasn't around, but like Larry Kramer, who was profiled in a documentary on HBO last night.
Were you able to see that last night, Ben? I didn't get to see that documentary yet.
It was, I've got to tell you, I previewed it for HBO. I do some work with HBO in their documentary department and get a look at most of their stuff before it hits the air. And it was one of the best biopics I've ever seen. It was also very tough to watch, very difficult.
I can imagine, yeah. So, just his work has been amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, marriage is fantastic. And now, you know, we see Puerto Rico took it, and then that, you know, there's other places around the world that are picking up the clue and rushing it forward. And I hope that this will sway things in Australia and other places where it's been back and forth.
Exactly. We did get Puerto Rico and Guam recently came on, so the territories are starting to, they even came on before we did, actually. So it's starting to happen there. I mean, the great thing is now that you're not, you've always been legal in California for a while now, but you're actually legal here in Ohio where it wasn't legal 5 days ago. So that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Well, TJ, why don't we talk about you? What does marriage mean to you? Tell me, let's start with just going back to the very basics. How did you and Ben meet?
We actually met unofficially at a dry cleaner. We both were in kind of failing relationships, and we eyed each other and didn't say anything and didn't see each other for another 6 months. We didn't even talk to each other, but Ben had messaged me on Facebook, and he's like, you know, hey, what's up? And I said, you're the guy from the dry cleaners.
He remembered me. I just thought he was a cute guy, but it was pictures I saw. But I was like, hey, you want to, you know, I'm going to be pretty forward. And I said, you want to get together? And TJ said, yeah, but just for a, you know, a coffee or a date or something.
That's one of those only in L.A. stories right there, at the dry cleaners. Just like Schwab's drugstore there, you find love in the dry cleaners.
Yeah, I thought he actually worked at the dry cleaners. He was so going back and forth behind the register, and I thought, wow, this guy is really handsome for a dry cleaner person.
Right, and you guys were like close to love at first sight, where you guys got together relatively quickly and moved forward pretty quickly, didn't you?
We did. It was just a few months after we started dating that we moved in together, and we decided to marry within 6 months after that.
And TJ, what was your thoughts on marriage? Were you always looking to get married, did you think, or was it not in your realm of possibility, or what was your thoughts on marriage at the time?
I actually wanted to get married a long time ago. I thought, you know, I come from a traditional family, and marriage is the next step in adulthood, and I've always been marriage-minded.
That's fantastic.
You told me when he was very young, it's all about when your mom, when she asked you.
My mother, when I was younger, my mother would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my response was, best husband ever.
Oh, that's fantastic. That young, that's fantastic. And what was it like going to you into the relationship?
Good job, let me tell you.
I bet. I mean, I see you guys on your, I mean, speaking of social media day, you guys are very active in social media, especially you, Ben. Obviously, you have your Facebook, and you have the Twitter, and you've been doing some great Periscopes. I actually saw you Periscope from Hollywood Park there for a couple seconds the other day.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You guys want to go ahead and give your social media so people can start following you if they don't already? I'm sure most of the people listening here already do. But
On Facebook, I'm just Ben Patrick Johnson, and on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at BenPatrick90069, which is the zip code here. BenPatrick90069 on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find my personal and group pages on Facebook at Ben Patrick Johnson.
Terrific. And TJ, you like to stay out of the spotlight, and you just like don't want anyone to know yours, or you'd like to share yours?
Sure. My Facebook is actually quite hard, but to find me, it's Mariano Johnson. M-A-R-I-A-N-O, last name Johnson, and my Instagram and Twitter is Touching Stove.
Terrific. Well, thanks for that. And now, let's go back to you guys meeting and everything. I mean, Ben's a little bit of a public person. He's a lot of behind the scenes, but he's also been very active as far as emceeing his other stuff. Did you get kind of thrown into the activism as well, or did you fit well into that, TJ, or how'd that go for you?
Well, I love volunteering. So that's something that both of us have in common. You know, I used to volunteer as a HIV counselor in San Francisco when I lived there. So activism, not so much activism, but just participation with the community has been a big role in my life. So
that's terrific. Well, that's kind of anything else you have to say about the marriage equality you weren't expecting, Ben, or any of your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't want to sound like a party pooper, but I was expecting it, and I was expecting it on Friday morning. I thought we were going to have a 6-3 decision from the Supreme Court, not a 5-4. Forever the optimist. I'm surprised, I guess, at the overwhelming embrace of the decision by America. You know, look, you know, the AT&T logo with a rainbow flag trend, but I go on Yelp and there's a little a rainbow thing, and we took Uber, but I don't know if you did that in your area, but the car service, which
right.
is in major metropolitan areas, and the little morning. We spoke twice on Friday, and it was beautiful both times, but it seems like every major corporation, every major organization that I'm aware of is stepping forward, other than the stridently anti-gay folks who are just going to entrench anyway and, you know,
exactly.
the whole thing, which of course they did.
Right. Who do you think the sixth justice would be that might sign on?
Say again, please?
Who did you think the sixth justice might be that would sign on?
You know, I wasn't sure. I actually don't know the I don't follow the Supreme Court closely enough to know each of their personalities and judicial histories.
Gotcha.
But as I had read summaries and as I had looked at it over months, my gut was telling me it was going to be a 6-3.
Right. Well, we can't ask for more than what we got, I think. I think it was the very reasoned opinion by Justice Kennedy. I think his thought process was exactly where we were hoping it to be and what it thought it would be.
That for certain, when I read, you know, when I heard and read his remarks, I felt proud and pleased.
Yeah, it's just a monumental time. I mean, like I said, our next guest is going to be one of the plaintiffs, as in that case, here for Ohio, because we were one of the four states here. Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, I believe Tennessee were the four that had no marriage equality whatsoever and then was overturned on appeal by that one judge. Every other place in the country pretty much got overturned, but our courts of appeals here in this district just wasn't having it.
Well, maybe we should ask you then. I mean, I know you're the host and we're the guests, but what is the sentiment there? I mean, when you go into the supermarket, when you go, I mean, we were driving, for instance, we're driving to the Valley, and we're going over Laurel Canyon Boulevard, and there's some people with their houses decorated up with pride things and rainbows and all of that. What's it like for you in Ohio, where the climate is so different?
Actually, the bigger cities are still pretty good. Cleveland and Columbus had some great reactions. There were some great shots on the news of that. It was really unfortunate that this past weekend was Cleveland's Pride event, and they have a huge Pride festival and parade, and it got rained out the day after the decision. So that was very sad because they had a lot of there was a lot of people that ended up going to the bars, and I think the bars were packed by like 11 a.m. that day and stayed all night long because it just they needed to be out there amongst the peoples and celebrate. So they had a lot of reaction on Friday in the Cleveland area and Columbus, Pittsburgh also. We're kind of Northeast Ohio, Youngstown area is kind of sandwiched right in the exact middle of Cleveland or Pittsburgh. We can get to either side in about an hour. So it was pretty exciting. And I have to say, for Youngstown, Ohio, we have a pretty strong gay community. You didn't see, the social media was pretty strong on it. We have a group called Pride Youngstown that's been around for quite a while that have put on Pride festivals in our little neck of the woods for over 6 years now, growing bigger and stronger each year. We had that earlier in June, I believe on the 12th and 13th. We have a nice PFLAG group here. We have a Pride Center here online. I was actually the chairman of the Pride Center here for 3 years. It's fantastic. So actually, it was pretty surprisingly fantastic.
Sure. Hey, how do you feel about being able to marry? Do you feel empowered? Do you feel different?
I'm kind of like you were, TJ. I've always wanted to get married. It's going to help if I start dating first. I think that'll be the first wheel in the cog, to be honest with you. But I need to go. I think that it's something that I've always wanted to do. It was pretty interesting. I've been big on the Periscope lately, and one of our local shows yesterday featured the probate judge here in Mahoning County where I live, and he was talking about, and the thing that you kind of forget about, are all those like 1,000 rights that you don't have as a non-married couple. Things like your survivorship partnerships and what you can do. I'm just looking forward to when I find the right guy for me, that we're going to be there for each other and we're not going to be a burden on each other if anything happens, that we're actually going to be able to celebrate our lives together. It'll be equal among everyone else's, and we're entitled to those same rights and privileges of everyone else. That's exciting for me.
You know, one of the things that we experienced when we married, and it's been about 6 months now since we tied the knot, at least in front of the court. We still haven't done our big ceremony with friends and family and the kind of the religious and social aspect of it. But
right.
As we walked away from the Beverly Hills courthouse, yes, it was Beverly Hills. And in the days after that, you know, any couple can you can have your run-ins and your fights and your disagreements, but to have this sense that this is permanent and that we have this base and that there's this security that comes with being married that lets you sleep better at night, that lets you breathe and exhale more readily during the day, and it rather than feeling like a ball and chain, I think for both TJ and me, being married has given us a feeling, interestingly enough, of liberty, which is not anything I would have anticipated prior to getting married.
Go ahead, TJ.
Also, marriage for us was and traditionally for, you know, gay couples, we don't have a road that we pave, or there's no real precedent in how we're supposed to be married. There's no, and, you know, straight people, they have a kid, and they have, you know, this cookie-cutter, you know, functional marriage, and for gay men, I think that we're not used to that because nobody's ever set that precedent.
There's no rule book for us. There's right. No, and we follow our parents' examples, and certainly in TJ's and my instance, my parents were you know, significantly older than me, but were married until their death, and TJ's parents are still married, so I think we both looked at that, and we knew we wanted something that was absolutely permanent, not just a fly-by-whim. But right. I agree with TJ that it is challenging at times, because as much as we enjoy in our society being independent thinkers, and, you know, part of the American thing is you get to do your own, it is really comforting and helpful to have other people and examples to look at, you know, during both difficult times and happy times to kind of know where to go next. And I think we're just going to be starting that as gays. And hopefully, you know, I talked to TJ about this actually on a very frequent basis, about being visible, not just as a gay man, but as a married gay couple, and helping be the among the early ones to be examples and set the tone for. And it doesn't mean that we're exemplary and amazing and, you know, perfect. We screw up all the time and do all kinds of dumb stuff. But just to be visible and to have people be able to see us and see that, yes, you can do this, and that, you know, here's one example of a functional couple as we begin to form the fabric of what it is to be married to a person of the same sex in America or anywhere.
Exactly. We need those kind of examples out there. I hate to kind of wrap this up, but I want to get a big thank you to TJ, because this first one we did for an hour. I'd see why I need the 2 hours here. If Phil was telling me why I needed the 2 hours, I could see why I could be talking to you guys forever, but I definitely want to get to your book and everything, Ben.
Sure.
TJ, I want to thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience before we go over to Ben and talk about his book a bit?
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on, TJ. I appreciate it. It's been my pleasure being able to talk to you today. And I'm going to go ahead and let's go ahead and talk about your book a bit. If there's anyone
sure,
that has a quick question for Ben, if you want to go in on Twitter, we're going to eventually have the phone lines open to do call-ins. But on my first day, I was scared. I didn't want to have to deal with that
scared,
as well.
Scott, don't be scared.
It was scary time. Phil said it would be no problem, but I don't know these things. But let's go ahead and go right into your book. I mean, you have, what is this now, your fifth book or fourth book?
This is actually going to be my fifth published book. My first three were sort of a trilogy, if you will.
Right.
About gay life in West Hollywood with a kind of a group of characters that we followed. People described it as Sex in the City meets Tales of the City. A serial comic look at the 90s and early 00s.
Right, was that In and Out in Hollywood? Was that the first one in the series?
Yes, correct. And that was semi-autobiographical based on my experiences when I was hired as host of Extra at the age of 24, the entertainment magazine show, and then pretty unceremoniously dumped a couple of months later when the producers found out I was openly gay. And at that time in the mid-1990s, that was just more than their brains could wrap around, and their heads exploded, and they dumped me.
That's just a huge story in and of itself. I mean, did that kind of gear you towards your acting? Were you a little active before then, or did that really...
Oh, I was active before then. I came out publicly on a 50,000-watt radio station in 1992 when I was 22 years old. And
wow.
Even before then, I had been out in my private life, but that was then I was very publicly out. And that's when I first connected with GLAAD and began to do a little bit of work with them. I do quite a bit more with them now. But anyway, so I had the trio of books. Then came a historical novel. I confounded publishers and audience by taking a left turn and going somewhere completely different and wrote a historic feminist novel.
That was based on your parents, wasn't it?
And that was based on my mother's experiences as a missionary in Africa in the 1950s as school teachers. And I'm back in West Hollywood now for my fifth book, which is called Splinters, coming out in 2 months from Dream Spinner Press. It'll be on pre-sale in just a few weeks. This one explores drug addiction and codependency. It's a darker, more challenging book than my first three, which were lighter. And it's basically about a relationship between two young men as they struggle with crystal meth and some identity issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a love story, though, pretty much. I mean, it's kind of a...
It is. It's a love story, and interestingly enough, I chose to go with a different publisher than I had worked with in the past on this one, and it is actually a gay romance, a very, very successful and large gay romance press, Dream Spinner, out of Florida, and it's going to be interesting to see how the audience is different for this book, and I didn't really write it as a traditional romance novel, but their love for each other is... you know, sort of the third character in the room, if you will, and it is really what propels the story forward.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't expect you to remember it all because I know you... one of the things that it really impressed me about this book is when you were writing it, you kind of went out to people to get some opinions on it, and I was actually one of the ones that you sent the book to, so I've actually read the book.
Oh, so, yeah, you read the early draft, yes.
Exactly.
And, so you have a good sense of it.
Exactly. Is it still Isaiah and Gerard, right?
Say that again?
Isaiah and Gerard, those are the two protagonists?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an interesting book. I really enjoyed it. I thought the you can feel the love underneath pinning on it, but they had their struggles to do, and I think it has a lot of different fields that it covers there.
Yeah, that's, and I needed to have, you know, the challenge I had was one of the characters who is struggling with a meth addiction, making him likable enough and letting... him have enough positive qualities for us to be endeared to him despite his sometimes just atrocious behavior.
Right. I think you accomplished it quite well.
Go ahead.
I think you accomplished it quite well.
Thank you.
Anything else about the story? You said it's coming out approximately August, correct?
It's coming out at the end of August, and yes, from Dream Spinner Press. Splinters is the name of the book, and you'll be able to pre-order it. I'll be blabbing about it all over my social media, and I'll probably hit you up for some mentions, too.
Oh, I will definitely put a link to it on the website. I'm going to link you on the website for sure. Make sure that's done.
3 weeks from now.
And I'm very happy to tell everyone that's listening, and it's kind of very generous of you, but you've actually offered a little gift to the people that are listening on the first podcast here. You're going to give an autographed copy of the book when it comes out in a couple weeks, correct?
Absolutely, yes. I will be happy to send you an autographed copy.
And as even a bonus, you said with this dulcet tones that you have, you'd even record an outgoing voicemail for somebody as well.
Yes, I will, and I will let you be the, you know, administer that little whatever contest or giveaway. I'm going to do honor your first podcast episode here, a voicemail message outgoing, like a movie trailer voicemail message, because that's... that's the nuts and bolts of my work. That's the majority of it, is doing promos for movies and television shows here in Hollywood. So we'll give you a whiz-bang outgoing answer machine message.
That's terrific. I appreciate it. I think it's going to be fun. What I'll do is I'll throw a little contest together, people who sign up on the website, put it through a randomizer to make it fair for everyone, and then we'll get that out for somebody. I think that'll be fantastic. I really want to thank you for your time. I can't believe I'm out of time already on this, but I really appreciate your time, Ben. Thanks so much for you and TJ. Any final thoughts you want to say while I have you on the radio here?
No, I just want to wish you a fantastic podcast. I hope that today's 1 hour episode is just the start of a long run of successful shows for you, and I wish you all the best with your show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Ben, and you have a wonderful afternoon out there. Nellie, stay in the air conditioning, okay?
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. Tell TJ thank you. All right, guys, there's it. That's it. That is Ben Patrick Johnson from L.A. I really appreciate him taking the time to come out for us. We're going to take a quick break here while we get a hold of Kelly McCracken, who's our next guest, one of the plaintiffs on the Supreme Court case. She actually, I mean, I lucked out. I told you it's been a lucky podcast for me to begin with. She is from the area of Ohio that I'm in here, Northeast Ohio. She was born and raised in this area. And she was in a band here that she was the front person on. She did a lot of the writing, a lot of the lead singing on, called The Kellys. And they put out some great music, performed at some local clubs around here, both LGBT and straight clubs. Excellent music. I'm going to go ahead and put a song on by her for you to listen to while we go ahead and get a hold of Kelly on the line, okay? Thanks so much for listening to the first part of the Left of Straight podcast, and you guys will stay tuned for Kelly McCracken. We are back to the Left of Straight podcast. How we do the first half hour there, Phil, for our first time?
For the first time, it's out of the box and running.
Super duper. Well, like I said, guys, I got so lucky for this very first podcast to have two fantastic guests. Again, I want to thank Ben Patrick Johnson from L.A. for being a fantastic guest for us, talking about marriage equality in L.A. area. My second guest is a new LGBT hero. Her and her wife were plaintiffs in the historic marriage equality case. This went between the Supreme Court last week and was affirmed on Friday for us. She's a wife and a mom, a singer, and just a Ohio national treasure now. We have on the phone Kelly McCracken. Kelly, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for calling in. I hear you kind of got stuck in traffic on the way to go home and do this in your jammies, right?
I did. I'm actually just around the corner from my house now, so I'm able to get out of this car. But other than that, I'm just fine.
Well, super. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind of a weekend for you, right?
Of course. It's been a whirlwind, yeah. Things are starting to settle down and kind of get back to normal.
I guess. I mean, I'm calling an LGBT hero. Heroes have to work the Tuesday after a big decision like that? That's not very fair.
Right. I know. I did take yesterday off to kind of recover, so I'll take it.
There you go. Well, just in case anyone is not familiar with everything on it, let's do a quick introduction. You and your wife, also Kelly, were married for about, what, since 2011. Is that correct?
Yes. And 2011 in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Exactly. And then you guys had your baby, little Ruby, a year ago, right?
We did. She just turned one on June 7th.
Oh, congratulations. That's fantastic.
And thank you.
In trying to be the second co-parent on the birth certificate, you found out that if you were a guy, even if you weren't married to the person or happened to be the friend next door neighbor, you can get on the birth certificate. But as the a legal mother and married to the mom, you weren't able to go on the birth certificate.
Right. Basically, any male figure could go under father, whether my wife knew him or not. He could be her next door neighbor or anything, just anyone. They want a mother and a father. So when we clearly knew we were gonna have an issue there. So that's when we went to see our attorney and got involved in the case for him.
Well, I'm just so glad it happened the way it is. There's no way that little Ruby should be denied both of her moms. That's just ridiculous in today's day and age. So
I know.
Thank goodness it turned out the way it was, but I'm sure it was a long and kind of a grueling fight for you ladies.
It was.
How did you guys who first approached you? Did you think that you were going to be part of this case originally, or did your lawyer suggest it, or how did that come about?
They actually knew two other lesbian couples who were pregnant, and then a male couple who, they're from New York, but they adopted their son in Ohio, and they wanted on his birth certificate. We were all kind of in the same boat. So we got together, and that's when he opened up the case, and it went to Cincinnati court, where it went, it was passed through, and that's actually where the marriage equality, or the marriage recognition, came about. It was just about the birth certificate, and then the judge in the case said, going a step further, I think that you should also be recognized in your home state. So that kind of blew our minds, but then we were kind of shot down a little bit because it was appealed in Ohio. It went to appeals court, and two or three judges thought that it should be struck down again. So that's how we ended up at the Supreme Court.
Wow. And then just to get a little technical, you guys were part of the Henry versus Hodges, so that part was primarily for being married in the four states that didn't have it, right? Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, and Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And then the other part that Jim was part of, he was actually for to be able to be married across state lines or something. Is that correct?
It was basically recognition for recognition to out-of-state marriages.
Gotcha.
Basically, all states need to recognize out-of-state marriages.
And
but now that marriage is legal, that just kind of goes along with it, right behind it. So, of course, they have to recognize our marriage now because they're supposed to perform same-sex marriages as well. So marriage, it's no longer same-sex marriage. It's pretty much just marriage.
Exactly. I saw my first bumper sticker online the other day that said, it's just, in quotes, marriage now with the date of the Supreme Court decision. That's all it is. It's marriage now.
Right. I love it. I need to give you one of those.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I think I'm going to give some away to people because I just thought that was the best way to put it on here. And, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you and Kelly, I was looking a little bit over your bio there, you and Kelly had met once but didn't get really together for a couple years after that. Is that correct?
We met in 06. My band was playing down in Cincinnati, the Kellys, and I mean, we were from Youngstown. We just kind of got involved in Midpoint Music Festival, and Kelly, my wife, was there to see the band that was playing after us, but she was, you know, hanging out, checking out other bands. I joke with her and tell her she was there to see the Kellys because her name is Kelly, and why not? but we met then. She bought a CD, and we kind of just kept in touch through email and, you know, social media here and there. And then we played a couple more shows down here in Cincinnati. And we just grew a little closer each time. And eventually she moved up to Warren to live with me for, I think, it was 2 years. And then we moved back down to Cincinnati in 2012.
Right, because she's down from the Kentucky area, right? You're from here up in Northeast Ohio and she's Kentucky area?
She's from southern Kentucky, and I'm from Northeast Ohio, and so now we live further in the middle. We're in northern Kentucky now, just over the bridge from Cincinnati, but we both work downtown Cincinnati.
Terrific. Yeah, I miss you up here. I mean, I was able to see, I think I saw your last time you were at Split Level up here in Austintown, when the band played there.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple years ago, years ago, actually.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not there anymore, but that was a great time when you guys played there a couple times. It was kind of exciting.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorite places to play. We always got a good crowd there. A lot of fans love to come out there.
And you're still doing the music now, or what's happening with that?
You know, the Kellys aren't actively playing. I'm still, you know, pushing our music online and on different sites of music, on Spotify and CD Baby, iTunes. So I'm pushing the music that's already been recorded because, you know, stuff's good. But we're not actively playing out right now. I've moved down here, and then, you know, all three of the guys have full-time jobs, and they just work a ton. They're all pretty much tradesmen, so they're doing a lot of construction or electrical or bricklaying, and they have a couple of that families and, you know, paid-off houses up there. So they're just kind of in their ways there, and they've got life to live as well, and I'm not making it up there quite as much as I'd like to. So I'd say we're on a bit of a hiatus, but we do have some songs written that are yet to be recorded, so we could get to that eventually, maybe this year. But, you know, things have just kind of been limbo, but I still am very close with the guys in my band, and you just never know. But then down here, I'm just playing some acoustic stuff and starting a new project with a few musicians locally around here, so that could take off as well. I'm just trying to do whatever I can.
That's fantastic. I mean, you were one of the main writers and the lead singer of the group, so I'm sure you have a lot of new things to write about. The songs were kind of autobiographical back in the day, weren't they?
Pretty much, yeah, they were. We kind of all got together and just everybody did their part, but I was always the main lyric writer, yeah.
And was Victory the only music video you did, or is that the only one that I've seen so far?
That was actually the only professional one we did. We had a lot of like live recordings on YouTube, but that's the only professionally recorded video.
Well, I hope people look that up. That's actually, you can see that on YouTube, and is that linked to on your page as well somewhere?
That video is on the very first, right when you click on the kellysmusic.com, you can get to that, or on YouTube, the Kellys 221, and the video, all of our videos are there, but that one is on there as well.
That was fun for me to watch, seeing you all over different areas here in Youngstown area, so I really liked that video. So that was fun.
Yeah,
And again, that's your website for your music is www.thekellys.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
And like I said, are you going to be writing more now? Like I said, since you write autobiographical, has this Supreme Court decision got some more writing juices flowing, or think you're just going to take some time, let that marinate a bit?
Oh, I'm just running from the rain, Scott. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Take your time. Get inside there. We can always
I'm good. I don't know. Are you getting a ton of rain up there? We're getting a ton down here.
Yeah, I was a little scared. Right before our broadcast started, we had about 10 minutes of torrential downpour over here in Youngstown area. So I was kind of worried for a second. Are you inside nice and safe?
Okay. I'm home and it's quiet.
There you go. All right, terrific. So tell me now, what... have you and Kelly been keeping a scrapbook or anything to give to Ruby when she grows older, or how have you guys been documenting this journey for yourselves?
You know, I had my mom save all of the vindicators and tribunes and write-ups and all the papers up there. We have a ton of newspaper clippings, photos, all kinds of stuff, and we did a time capsule at her birthday party for people to kind of bring stuff or write her a note. And then we're going to put it in her closet and open it on her 10th birthday. So I think we're going to put all of the clippings and stuff in that. Because right around 10 years old, I think she'll be starting to understand. So we can really kind of break that stuff out and show her what, you know, she was a part of 10 years ago. And I think that'll be really cool. Really cool.
She's going to be proud of her mommies, that's for sure.
Of newspaper clippings and photos and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be proud of her mommies, that's for sure, down the line here. And your mom has been very proud of you on local TV down here. We see your mom, Pam, on TV. She's definitely proud of it. I'm sure she's proud of her little grandbaby down there. She was supposed to go visit you guys this weekend. Did she make it down this weekend for you?
She just left this morning. She was here. She came in Sunday, and she was here for a couple days to celebrate with us.
And as part of the celebration this weekend, I believe you guys were a part of the Pride Festival down in Cincinnati this weekend. How did that go?
We were. It was pretty huge. It was a lot of fun. We put Ruby in her wagon, and she had a couple signs hanging on her wagon that said Supreme Baby, and we walked with the other plaintiffs and Jim Obergefell and our attorneys, and I think both Kelly and I, right when we got to Fountain Square in downtown Cincinnati, which is just like the main square of downtown, the crowd was huge, and they started cheering and roaring, and Kelly and I both just, we started to like cry really hard. It was a moment that just, I think it hit us right then. And then we saw two of our best friends crying as well in the crowd, and they came and gave us a hug. It was just a real special moment.
I can imagine. I mean, you guys have to be so proud of yourselves. What are your thoughts and Kelly's thoughts now looking back on it? I mean, obviously it was worth it because it came out the right way, but how did this whole ordeal affect you two personally the past year or so?
You know, I feel like it brought us closer. We really had to kind of examine our lives and ourselves, and it brought us closer and closer with Ruby, just because it's so, our rights are so important and our family is so important that, you know, going through something like this together where we just put it all out on the line for, you know, everybody to know our story, I mean, that can only bring a family closer. And it really did, because, you know, times when I wasn't sure what to say and Kelly would know what to say and vice versa. And if she was feeling down or, you know, I was feeling overly excited, we always could kind of ground each other through this whole process. So it's really been a lifelong experience for us and something we'll never forget that we've gone through.
Well, I can imagine. Like I said, you guys are definitely LGBT heroes to all of us here. I can't wait to have you back down in Northeast Ohio here, or back up, I guess I should say, in Northeast Ohio. What's yours and Kelly's plan now? Anything, any other way you're going to be celebrating this, or anything else coming up recently, or is it time to take a breath?
Well, we have a month to take a breath, and then we're actually coming up. I always get mixed up. I say up, down, you know.
Right.
But we're actually coming up to Warren, and we're going to stay with my mother, and we're planning on seeing a lot of family and friends and celebrating with them again. But, yeah, right now, for the next couple weeks, we are just kind of regrouping and kind of getting back to normal. It was a big long weekend and a big long year, really. This has been going on almost 2 years, actually. So it's nice to just kind of take a breath for a few weeks and then, you know, do a lot more celebrating and socializing at the end of the month.
I'm sure. Well, you guys deserve the break. It's hours going by so quick. I hate to kind of cut you off here, but I'm going to run out of my hour. We did the first show an hour, and we're doing 2 hour shows after that. I could talk to you guys all over, but I really want to appreciate and thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk to me, especially in this first episode. Congratulations
again.
Oh, definitely. When you come local, if you're here, if you stay enough where you're on a Tuesday, if it's not a weekend, we'll have you come live, or well, maybe we'll just do a Periscope sometime when you hear something on Twitter.
You just keep in touch and you let me know. Anytime works for me.
I definitely will. Thank you so much to you. Thank you so much to Kelly. Tell Ruby we just hope we're very happy. She's growing up with two wonderful moms that help make a difference in the country. We're going to play your song out in a little bit as we leave here for one of your other Kelly songs. Not quite yet. I'm going to kind of finish everything up here. But thank you so much for calling in and taking the time. And really appreciate it, Kelly. Looking forward to talking to you soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. And there you go, friends. That was Kelly McCracken. Her and her wife, Kelly Noe, was part of the landmark decision that came down Friday in marriage equality. I'm sure we'll be talking even more about it next week. We have a little more time to discuss current events. Today, it's just really important that I brought these two great guests in. So I'm very excited for my first show to have these two people in here. Thank you so much for being part of the Left of Straight podcast. We're hoping to be bigger and better each week. Phil's taking care of us here on board. Thank you so much, Phil. You can listen to us every week on the Insight Radio Network at www.insightradionetwork.com. You can also listen to the podcast and go over lots of information on the Left of Straight website, www.leftofstraight.com. And hopefully find some fun information there as well. I got to give another big thank you out to our sponsors, Equality Vodka, Doug and Bert. Appreciate all you've done to kind of help launch this thing. We'll be back in a week, Tuesday from 5 to 7 on the 7th. Got a couple of fun guests lined up already. Joining me is going to be Sharon Dedamonte, who was on the All-Stars of Food Network. She was on Team Curtis Stone. If you guys are Food Network fans like I am, she did some fantastic cooking on that show, and she runs her own food blog and her own information out of Napa. She'll be on next week's show. We're also going to have a friend of mine, Shane Chase, is an author out of Oregon. Just wrote this year a very touching and fantastic book of poetry called Beautifully Broken. We'll be speaking to him next week. And we're going to have a special guest co-host, also from Oregon, Talitha Wagner, one of our straight allies. She'll be calling in co-hosting with me for the 2 hours, or as much as she can for it. So until then, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to put another song from Kelly McCracken and her band, The Kellys, on. Fantastic voice, fantastic person. Thanks for being part of the Left of Straight podcast. Phil, anything else I forgot?
Nope, I think you covered everybody. Thank you for the first show.
All right, well, we're going to have this podcast up and downloadable on the Left of Straight website by this evening and submit it to iTunes. Should be available to iTunes in just a week or less, hopefully. Thanks so much for being part of Left of Straight. This is Scott signing out, and here are the Kellys.
From the home studios of Youngstown, Ohio, broadcasting around the world and around the block, you're listening to InsightRadioNetwork.com.